course, you need to teach her. This is a Baptist church. Raising one hand is okay. Raising two is not. Anyway. Thanksgiving. Dr. Warren Wiersbe was the pastor of Moody Memorial Church for a while in Chicago, which is on Lake Michigan. And he shared this story. He said years ago, Northwestern University, which was a school that was on Lake Michigan, had a life-saving team that assisted passengers on Lake Michigan boats. On September 8th, 1860, the Lady Elgin floundered near the campus, and a ministerial student named Edward Spencer personally rescued 17 people. However, the exposure from that episode permanently damaged his health, and he was unable to continue preparation for the ministry. Some years later, when he died, it was noted that not one of the 17 people he had saved ever came back to thank him. It's so easy to get so involved in life and even appreciating it and enjoying it, and yet not take the time to utter two very simple words, thank you. Thank you. William Shakespeare wrote a poem which in part goes like this. Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude. Freeze, freeze, thou bitter sky that dost not bite so nigh as benefits forgot. Though the waters warp, thy sting is not so sharp as friend remembered not. Ingratitude is an awful, awful condition. And like many others, it can sneak up on us without us hardly realizing it. In our home, we taught our kids what my folks taught us, the magic words. What were the magic words? Please and thank you. And we were reminded often when we forgot to either say please or to say thank you. And consequently, there were times when our kids would be playing and they would be asking or ordering or demanding. And I would interrupt their play and say, hey, I haven't heard very many pleases and thank yous around here. And then they would start thanking each other and saying, please. One day I was standing outside their door. I don't know who all was in there playing, but there was a number of them playing. And one of them just stood up and said, I haven't heard very many pleases and thank yous around here. So then the rest of them start going, please, thank you, please, thank you, please. Not sure the lesson was learned, but at least they heard the words. Last week, we looked at some great Old Testament passages on Thanksgiving. We saw that Thanksgiving is a sacrifice, that Thanksgiving can be a witnessing tool, that Thanksgiving should focus on who God is, that Thanksgiving is an act of worship, that Thanksgiving should accompany anything we do, that Thanksgiving is also a life preserver, and Thanksgiving is a treatment for various difficulties. Today we want to look at some New Testament passages. And so I'll give you the references. You can turn there if you will, if you want. The first one's found in Luke chapter 17, and it's verses 15 through 18. So in Luke chapter 17, verses 15 and 18, Jesus has come into this village, and he was greeted by 10 lepers. Now, leprosy in the Bible is not exactly what leprosy is today. I think is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it Hansen's disease? Hansen's disease is what they call leprosy today. Because for obvious reasons, leprosy has a pretty bad connotation. But Hansen's disease isn't nearly as communicable as leprosy was treated in the Bible. What was labeled leprosy in the Bible was pretty much any kind of skin infection or discoloration, and it was just labeled as leprosy, and it was treated as very, very communicable. And so there were all kinds of rules with regards to somebody who was a leper. One of them was that if they got near anybody else, they had to cover their face. Remember COVID? They had to cover their face, and they had to warn people, unclean, unclean. And that was so they wouldn't obviously infect somebody else unbeknownst to them. And also, because they were treated, like the phrase goes, they were treated like lepers, they were societal outcasts. They weren't allowed to get around other people. Other people didn't want to get around them. And so they survived either by the generosity of their own family or the generosity of strangers. And oftentimes they were found begging. They would get together in groups because that's the only people they could fellowship with. And they would travel or they would be in one place. Anyway, here were 10 men who were in this village that were lepers, and they must have heard of Jesus and his healing ministry. So they went to him and they asked him to be merciful to them. Now, in the Old Testament, not only were they to cover their faces, not only were they to, and actually cover their upper lip, not only were they to announce that they were unclean, but if they were healed or they thought they were healed, they were to go to the priest, and the priest was to examine them, and there were certain things to look for. But if those things were missing, then this person would be declared clean, they would make a sacrifice, and then they would enter back into society again as a non-leper. And so Jesus says to these people, these 10 men that came to him, "Would you have mercy on us?" He says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." So they turn and they go, they're on their way to the priest, and as they're on the way, obeying Jesus, they were cleansed. All of a sudden, they realized that they no longer had this. You know, leprosy is a type or a picture of sin. For instance, leprosy disfigured. It robs us of our attractiveness. The Bible tells us that righteousness is attractive, especially in the eyes of God. But sin is always described as an ugly thing, and it makes people look bad. It disables, it robs us of our usefulness, leprosy would. And likewise, sin has that effect. It distances us, it separates us from other people, and ultimately, it separates us from God. And I had to come up with a word to get my first and second letters going all together. It deceases us. You die from it. Okay? You die from it. And all those are pictures of what sin does in the life of an individual as well. There was one person that, though, when they were cleansed, they came back and they told Jesus, "Thank you." And Jesus pointed it out. It says, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger." You should know that in Palestine, in Israel, the time of Jesus, there were 3 geographical locations. The northern one was called Galilee. The southern one was called Judea. But right in between there was a section called Samaria. And the people that inhabited Samaria were part Jewish and part Gentile. And having a mixed heritage, they were ostracized by the Jews. They were put out, and they were not fellowshipped with. In fact, somebody in Judea traveling to Galilee would normally go east, cross the Jordan River, then go north until they were past Samaria, then come back west across the Jordan River, going way out of their way, but not having to set foot in Samaria. Jesus obviously didn't do that. The woman at the well was a Samaritan, and Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. But here, this person gave thanks to God for his mercy. There shouldn't be any people on the face of the earth that are more thankful than believers. Gang, what we have gotten will last for eternity. What God graciously gave us is eternal life. He has fully and completely forgiven those who came to him for salvation. And so we should constantly be grateful to God. Next, thanksgiving should be given for other believers. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 1, 15 and 16, says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Believers sometimes are awfully critical of one another, and fundamentalists even more so. Now, there's a reason for that. Fundamental Christians really believe the Bible. I mean, they believe all of it. And because we hold God's word up as high as we do, we have a real problem with people that tweak or twist or change God's word in some way. And so I have a tendency to be critical, at least of that, and that's probably appropriate. But I like what I heard somebody say once: if you must speak of others, do so on your knees and begin with thanksgiving. Beginning with thanksgiving. Sometimes when we hear of good things happening to people, we get a bad case of the yeah buts. "Oh, so-and-so got saved. Yeah, but did he change? Yeah, but is she living differently? Yeah, but..." Hey, knock it off. Last time I checked in my Bible, there's one Holy Spirit, and he's the one that examines hearts. The Bible tells us that God looks on the inward. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And that's not a criticism of mankind. It's just a warning. All we can see is what's on the outside. And what we see on the outside may actually not represent what's on the inside. My Bible also commands us as believers to love one another. In fact, it tells us to love our enemies. And one of the evidences Scripture says of love is love hopes all things, love believes all things, love endures all things. So we ought to be anxious and excited about the possibility of somebody being saved, rather than critical of not seeing exactly what we think we should see. So thanksgiving should be for believers. Third, thanksgiving is a part of Christian growth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You see, one of the things that we should get excited about is seeing Christians grow. Be careful. We have a tendency to look on the wrong side. Wow, they've got this much to go still. I remember years ago, a church that we have in town that was characteristic by people that were more mature, farther along in their Christian growth. And they had some problems, and some folks ended up looking around. And one family came to our church, and they were excited to be involved in our church, but then they realized who the leadership was. I mean, I'm the pastor, but they realized who the deacons were. And one of them came to me and said, Pastor, I don't think any of the deacons come to the Sunday evening service in the church. How can that be? And I said, you know, that's something that bothers me too. But let me tell you how far they've grown so far. Now, I believe the leadership in the church should be exemplary, and I believe it should be more mature. But I'd rather have somebody who was growing in the right direction than have somebody that was farther along, stalled out, and getting moldy. Hey, and when I told them the direction that these people were going on, how they had grown, they got excited. They got excited. We ought to be excited about Christian growth. In Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse tells us that one of the evidences of being Spirit-filled is having a spirit of gratitude and being thankful to God. Spiritual maturity, spiritual convictions and freedoms, all of these things ought to be present with thanksgiving. Fourth, there's thanksgiving and prayer. Take your Bibles and let's turn to this together. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verses 6 and 7. This is towards the end of this epistle, and oftentimes it seems the Holy Spirit throws in a bunch of instructions at the end of one of Paul's instructions. Do this, do this, do this. But here in Philippians chapter 4, backing up to verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And verse 6 says, be careful. That means, it says, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean be careless. Being careful means, in this context, means being filled with cares, worrying, being all worried about this, that, or the other. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Years ago, we had a gal who was in her 30s suddenly die. She had gone through an operation, and the day after the operation, she seemed to be all right, but 2 days after the operation, she slipped into a coma and passed away. It was very unexpected. I was called to go to the hospital. I was sitting in the room with her two teenage children, a boy and a girl. Boy was, I don't know, 14 or so. You know, in Bible college, they don't tell you how to deal with stuff like this. And I was at a loss. I mean, here's a boy sitting in a room, and his mother is dying in the next room. And there's no instructions of what to do. So I thought, well, at least I could pray for him. I said, Bob, let me pray for you. He said, all right, Pastor. And so I prayed, and I'm not sure what all I prayed, but then he prayed, and I remember what he prayed. He prayed, "Lord, thank you for taking my mother home, because she's so much better now than she was before." And frankly, I was staggered. I couldn't believe it. A few minutes later, we were allowed to go in the room with this lady who had passed away, and they weren't working on her anymore. And I was in there, me and her husband. And he stood by her side. And he said, "Honey, if I had the power to bring you back, I wouldn't do it. Because you're so much better off now than you were before. Lord, thank you for taking my wife." That was a hard time for our whole church. We had pretty close to 300 people that came here for the funeral. We set up a couple cameras. We had closed-circuit TVs downstairs. And over the next couple of weeks, there were a lot of tears that were shed. A lot of people hurting and hurting for this family. And yet at the same time, I watched this family who were really missing Mom. They had an unusual peace. An unusual peace. It wasn't explainable. And the only thing I could do with it was come back to this verse that says, "In everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving." And then it says, "The peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." We've all gone through hard times of one kind or another. Frankly, everybody looks at their own a little bit like it's a little bit worse than others. But I know that I've found that the hardest things I've been called to go through went a lot easier when I spent lots of times thanking God for what he was doing. I didn't understand it. I didn't approve of it. I didn't like it. But that's not what the scripture says. It says give thanks. And so I've given thanks. Prayer, thanksgiving should always be a part of our prayer. And then finally, thanksgiving in everything. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Many of you, if not all of you, are familiar with it. As soon as I can find it. Pastor's nightmare. I actually had a nightmare one night where I was standing preaching and I couldn't find the verse, and I kept turning in my Bible, and I did that for about 2 hours, and finally somebody said, "It's all right, Pastor, we'll take your word for it." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Let's read, look at verses, and we read this morning. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore." Verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you." There's two ways to look at that. I think both of them count. First of all, this situation, as awful as it may be, God has allowed it for a reason and a purpose. I don't believe God causes everything to happen, but I do believe that God allows things to happen that aren't good, that aren't fun. And sometimes we wonder if it's ever going to be profitable. And we may never see the reason behind it. Next time you read through the book of Job, notice at the end where there's kind of a wrapping up of Job's life, There's not one place where God says to Job, now let me explain why all this happened. As far as we know, Job never knew that this started out as a contest between God and Satan, and Satan had to lose. But Job was in the middle of it. We don't know that Job ever knew that. But whatever you're going through, as awful as it may be, it's either by God's design or by God's permission. And so we need to stop and say, thank you, Lord. You've got something good in mind. I don't see it, but you have something good in mind. So thank you, Lord. And then get excited about possibly learning what it might be. So that's one way to take the verse. There's another way to take the verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Means God's will for you is to give thanks. That is God's will for you. That is what God wants you to do. And you can do that out of a genuine heart of appreciation, or you can do it out of not having the foggiest idea of what's going on, but you do it anyway in obedience. Like I've shared many times, my father-in-law liked to tell the story of the kid who was visiting his grandparents, and grandparents handed him a wicker basket and said, go down to the creek and give me a basket full of water. Dumb city kid didn't know any better, so he went back down the creek, got a whole basket full. By the time he got home, all gone. Grandpa said, give me another one. So I went down and got a second one. All gone by the time he got back. Went down, got a third one. Go down, get a third one. Went down, got a third one. Came back, it was all gone. Grandfather said, ah, that's what I wanted. A clean basket. Sometimes what God is doing isn't exactly what we can see or understand. But you don't have to understand it to obey it or to give thanks. Lord, thank you for what you've done. My wife has given several women a project that, and it was something that she learned during some hard times that we were having. She sat down on a regular basis. She had a little notebook, and she wrote in there things that she was thankful for me. Lord, thank you for my husband, because, and again, and again, and again. And when she found real freedom, she gave it to me. And it's precious. A little convicting, because it reminds me of the things that I needed to grow in. But good. Thank God in everything. Dr. D. James Kennedy, who is the pastor of Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, founder of Evangelism Explosion, once visited a leprosarium in Africa. While they toured the hospital, he noticed that the rooms and the patients that they were visiting were getting worse and worse. Finally, at the end of the hall, the last room, the person that was taking him said, this is the worst case that we have in the hospital. When they came into the room, there was no light in the room because the man was blind. He was laying on a cot at the other end of the room. He was blind. He was deaf. He didn't have any fingers or toes or ears or nose. Severely disformed from the disease that he had. But Dr. Kennedy said he must have sensed that they were in the room. And so he hoisted himself on one elbow. He couldn't speak. But he took a fingerless fist and thrust it into the air. Dr. Kennedy asked the attendant, "What's he doing?" He said, "He senses that we're here, and he's praising God." And it was his way of witnessing. Pretty obvious. If he could do that, then we can give thanks for the problems that we experience. Let's pray. Father, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Father, for enjoying all your good gifts and not taking the time to either thank you personally or to praise you publicly. Father, thank you. Remind us during the year that for us Thanksgiving isn't just a holiday that comes in November, but it's an everyday experience. We thank you for it, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.